Doval shakes off. Duval, the hitter. 1-2, slider, strike three called. What a debut. Camilo Doval strikes out two, retires the side in order in a one-run ball game with his team in the lead in the seventh inning. That was great. And he's going to get all kinds of fist bumps and high fives as he comes back in the Giants dugout, and he's got a big smile on his face. Camilo Doval is a big leaguer and helping the Giants stay ahead in this one.
Yeah, Camilo Doval leaves the Giants on a good note Sunday. They get the 1-0 win on getaway day. Hey, if you're only going to get one out of three, get the getaway day in Miami. Friday, they lose 4-1. Saturday night, a bit of a drama. 3 hours and 56 minutes, they lose 7-6 in extras. All stuff to talk about with NBC Sports Bay Area analyst, and former Giants World Series champion, George Contos. Number 70. Cruising on to the Murph and Mac Show on the UMA guest line. Hey, George, welcome back to the Murph and Mac Show. Welcome back to the Bay. Glad to see you talking Giants ball on the TV, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
How was it, man? How was the experience this weekend?
It was a lot of fun. For the first pregame with Papa was a little bit nerve-wracking. Had some anxiety and stuff, sitting at the table, not knowing where to look. But as the weekend went on and the postgame went on, I got a lot more comfortable, so I thought it went pretty well.
You thinking like you study in film of some of the greats, like a Charles Barkley on an Inside the NBA, and just, you know, or I don't know, who you, Sean Estes, who are you following?
Oh, you know, I got my good buddy Javi Lopez is helping me out, showing me the ropes a little bit. So he's the one who's giving me the pointers, and then I'm just rolling with it with what I got.
Yeah, that's a smooth dude to lean on, right, Javi?
Absolutely. Guy knows a lot about the game. He's doing great with the play-by-play with Kipe, taking over for Kruko. You know, speaks very eloquently. So, yeah, he's definitely a good guy to piggyback off.
All right, man. Well, let's roll up our sleeves, get into the Giants, man. What'd you think of the weekend in Miami? It's like things weird that you've been down there. It's like, why do weird things happen in Miami? Is it the lack of fans? I don't know. Just weird thing. The Giants, I don't think, have won a series there since 2015, George. What's going on? I mean, it's not like they're a world-beating team. I know they're big leaguers and they're talented, but what do you think? Is it true that strange things happen in Miami?
You know, I don't know anything about strange things happening in Miami. I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah, it's you know, you had at least the Clevelander right there in the bullpen. There's a lot of stuff going on in that ballpark, and it's as beautiful of a ballpark as it is. It's unfortunately always empty. It's a little bit difficult, even though you're playing in a Major League Baseball game, to get up and going. Might not have been the case this year now that fans are being allowed in the stands. So anywhere you go is better than it was last year. But I don't know. I don't know what it is about Miami. Maybe it's the heavy air. Guys can't score some runs. And I don't know. Maybe the breaking balls aren't as good there. But it is a goofy place. I do agree with you. It's a tough place to play sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, going to Philly, there's going to be a lot of life in the yard, even in the regulated seating. But, yeah, you go to Miami, it's like the lighting's different. Like you said, the Clevelander out there in the bullpen. So, well, let's start on the bright spot, man. As an old reliever, you're in the bullpen. Let's say you're on the squad this year, and you're watching your teammate Camilo Doval warm up in the pen and then trot out there for his first big league experience facing the 2-3-4 hitters, Marte, Aguiar, and Duval. What's your breakdown, man?
I'll tell you what, the way he handled coming in a high leverage situation like that in a one-run ball game for his Major League debut, you'd think the guy had been around for a long time. So it was great to see him handle it that way, have that mentality. And he had a very nice effect, effectively wild fastball that set up that really good breaking ball that he got some really bad swings on. So I think if he can continue doing what he's been doing, he's a guy who's going to be around for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, 23 years old, man, coming in there and doing his thing. So it's going to be, what, 98 cheese and then slide piece? That's it? And it's an uncomfortable AB, huh?
I mean, that's it. 98 with 98 cheese with a slide piece. I think every reliever in the big leagues that's ever pitched wouldn't mind having that. So he has that low three-quarter. He has that low three-quarter arm slot where he can have a little bit of that arm side run. So that 98 is going to be moving. And that slider comes right off the same slot, comes in looking like a fastball, and then right at the end it just kind of dips. And it doesn't look like it has that much break, but it's late and it's tight. So it's going to throw off a lot of people for a while.
Well, Camilo Doval, definitely the story yesterday. So was Alex Wood. I mean, you know, it's funny, we talked Doval all morning, but you got a guy making his Giants debut, coming off a spinal ablation, and 5 shutout innings, no walks. What was your breakdown of the lefty, Alex Wood, and you know what he did for the Giants and what he can do going forward?
I think he was exactly what they needed. I'm sure the adrenaline and the emotions were high making his season debut for a new team after going through a little bit of that back procedure. But he's a veteran guy who's pitched in the World Series, who's done really, really well. I think he was just excited and elated to come back out and make his debut for the new team. And I'm glad that it went so well for him. But you could tell how excited he was as he was doing his post-game interview. He came in, he needed to be the stopper, and he gave the team a chance to win. And that's exactly what they did right behind him.
Yeah, for sure. That was big, especially after losing the Saturday night game in such heartbreaking fashion. We're talking to George Contos, who made his debut on NBC Sports Bay Area, doing some post-game analysis. Hey, what about Tyler Rogers getting the save, George, on Sunday? And just the whole Tyler Rogers thing. Like, in your career, how many Submariners were you around? I mean, I know Chad Bradford was with the A's for years, and how... just how different it is. I mean, there's lefties are one thing, but Submariners are a whole different thing. And George, these big league hitters, they can't see him.
Well, he does exactly what you want to do. He pitches outside of the normal hitting speed that guys are used to seeing, on top of having a little bit of a funky, deceptive delivery. He's throwing that ball uphill. So that fastball out of his hand looks like it's going to be rising, and then just at the end, it kind of tumbles back down with that two-seam spin that he puts on it. So he's a different look. He's very composed. He manages his emotions out there. The only thing I'm worried about for him is if he's going to end up throwing 110 games this year. And I thought I had a rubber arm, but that arm that he's throwing out there right now is even more rubber than I had.
Nice.
Right, so game usage. And he did it last year, too. I mean, but they only had a 60-game season. But he was a huge leader in baseball and appearances. And that's something to track for sure. George Contos, the voice with us. Let's talk about Saturday night. That was a tough one, man. That's if you're Gabe Kapler, do you think you're going back over and reviewing how you didn't have any bench players left in the 10th inning, and you have to put DeSclafani out there as a bunter and a runner? Or are you saying, hey, man, I did what I did. I got my closer a 5-3 lead in the ninth, and that's just, you know, I did everything right. I don't know. How do you, when you go over your notes as a staff, do you look back on that not having any bench players left in the 10th inning as a mistake?
You know, I think it's just tough with how the game is going right now. Everyone is very heavy analytics and matchups, and they want to make sure that they get the lefties facing the righties and vice versa. So, I know, I think you draw that up exactly how you want it to. You go into the ninth inning with your closer out there, and, you know, nobody foresees that to happen, especially with McGee having the year that he was having. But, you know, those outings do happen. You know, everyone's going to have those outings. I said it on air. Mike Trucco said, as a reliever, 70 games you're going to pitch. 10 of them are going to be great. 10 of them are going to be horrible. And the other 50, you just go out there and see what you're working with that day. And unfortunately, that was one of the 10 games that McGee's going to want back. And, you know, you just keep moving on, and they were able to bounce back the following day. But, you know, it's tough when you have a pitcher out there who's not used to running at full speed, running the bases. It's a little bit of a foreign environment when you're going full speed. So it was just kind of a set of unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah, it was. And obviously, it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. He had some sort of vaccine reaction and was on the IL yesterday. We'll see if he's available for this series and how he does in his next outing after that one on Saturday. George, looking forward now to this series in Philly. We talked to Mike Kruko about this a couple hours ago. But, you know, I mean, I know there's not going to be 30,000 in the stands or even 20,000, but it's going to be Philly. And I know this one's a little bit more for the writers and the talkers, but a friend of ours in Philadelphia already said WIP's been spending the whole morning killing Gabe Kapler.
You know what I mean? they haven't played a game yet, and they're already killing him.
He said somebody might be throwing coconut oil on the field because Gabe wrote a blog about coconut oil on your privates, the whole deal. I mean, how much of a drama do you think this is, and does it affect the Giants clubhouse at all? Do they get a little juiced up to go get one for Gabe?
Well, I mean, Philly's always a tough place to play. I think that's just notoriously known throughout baseball, is when you go to Philly, the fans are a little bit ruthless. So much so where it can get a little inappropriate at times when, you know, you have a few too many pops in the later innings. But I think that is not even something that the Giants team, or I hope Gabe, is even worried about. You know, you're going back. I'm sure it's going to be some emotions, but you'll take the lineup card out. You'll go through the initial boos, and then, you know what, you have a baseball game to play. And I think that everyone is professional. And it won't really bother him. I think they'll if he's able to kind of hopefully put the blinders on and not let it affect him, which I'm sure he'll be able to do, It should be just business as usual when you get to the ballpark.
Well, it helps to give the ball to Kevin Gausman, too, at 4:05, which is what he's doing, and we'll see how that goes out. Just in general, at 9-6, George, I mean, we just watched the Dodgers and Padres have a very emotional series down there and a lot of fun and excitement, but you look up and the Giants are in second place. They're right there. What do you think? Do you think it's a little bit of a surprising start for the rest of the National League, or what's your take?
Yeah, I think that the Giants are doing what we've always done, right? You're leaning on your starting pitching, which has been really, really good. Your timely hitting, which I think can get a little bit better as guys start hitting their stride, and good defense. So I think the fact that they're sitting there in second place, they played a good series against the Padres when they played them. The Dodgers, I think, are in a little bit of a league of their own. We said it yesterday that they have potential, I think, to maybe break the all-time Major League wins record this year with the type of team they're going out there. So if you can play the other teams tough, if you can play the Dodgers tough, if you can have a good season series with the Padres, there's no reason why the Giants can't go and contend for a wild card spot.
All right. Well, it's stuff to watch, man. We will check them out in Philly this weekend, see how the fans treat Gabe, and see how the Giants is it generally – I mean, you get 2 out of 3 in Philly. You come home 3-3, you're pretty pumped. You know what I mean? George, this would be the goal, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the goal is to win every single day, but getting a series win out there would be huge. You come back on a road trip where you think you could have gotten a couple more, or at least one more in Miami, and you come back home and you get yourself back, you get your bearings back in at Oracle Park, and you move on from there.
Good stuff, man. All right. Well, listen, welcome back, and we'll look forward to more this year as the Giants maybe continue to surprise us all spring long. So thanks, George.
Yeah, good having you, George.
Thanks for having me, guys. Great chatting.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.